Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Lent is a time of questioning, the time of asking ourselves, looking at ourselves, and trying to decide what path that we are truly on. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the questions that Jesus asked. And if you look through the New Testament, especially the Gospels, you find that constantly Jesus asked questions. As a matter of fact, if you look through the Gospels, you find that Jesus asked over 300 questions in the Gospels. And in fact, in Luke's Gospel, the very first words that we find out of Jesus are a question. Did you not expect me to be here in my Father's house? And so it should not be surprising that Jesus comes to us, especially during Lent, to question us, question who we are, the path that we're on, and understand deeper what we're all about. During Lent, we kind of are building some momentum. And here at Palm Sunday, it kind of almost builds to a crescendo as we celebrate Jesus coming not only into Jerusalem, but into our very lives to take over, to be an authority, to reconcile the world to God. And we celebrate with palms and with celebrations that God has come among us. And yet we can't help but look at Palm Sunday through the lens of what is about to unfold. And ask ourselves, how is it that so quickly our shouts of praise Jesus can turn to crucify? Are we so fickle that our allegiances can be changed that quickly? And yet that is the human condition. That is our human nature. And Jesus wants to define who we're going to be, to ask us the hard questions so that we can go deeper and understand who we are and who we're going to become. This morning, we're going to take a look at a passage from Matthew chapter 16. Jesus confronts his disciples with that fundamental question that we all must face. Who do you say that I am? And we find that in wrestling with it, we have to come to terms with not only who do we think he is, but how are we living out our lives? Is our thoughts, is our ideas, is our ideology and our values being played out in our actions and our attitudes? And so this morning we want to go deeper and ask Jesus to come into our lives, into our church and into our community, and ask those hard questions. This morning we're going to open up God's Word into Matthew chapter 16, but as we do so, let us center our lives on His Word. Would you join with me? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. As in all Scripture, especially the Gospels, you want to pay particular attention to the details that the writer has included, as well as the details that have been left out. And this morning, as we look at this passage, we want to pay particular attention to those details. Reading from Matthew chapter 16. Now, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by Father in heaven. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, awaken us and be with us in our hearing, that we may fully experience you coming into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus asked questions in order to elicit a response, not just about information, but about challenging us about the path that we're on. So often, we fall into ruts and routines that we don't even think about the path that we're on. But every so often, you get confronted by that question that says, who do you think that I am? Throughout our journey together, we've confronted when Jesus met the man that was at the Pool of Bethesda, and he said, do you want to get well? Seemed kind of an obvious question, and yet it elicited a deeper understanding of what does it mean for us to be whole? What does it mean for us to be human? Of course, he encountered a woman at the well who had been kind of an outcast. Her life had been a series of failed relationships, and she'd been kind of ostracized from the community, and Jesus encounters her and asks her a simple question, will you give me a drink? And yet that question touched a nerve, and there was just a floodgate of response about who she was as a real person. Today we come to a time when Jesus has moved his disciples. In Matthew's gospel, it tells us specifically that Jesus journeyed to Caesarea Philippi. Now, Caesarea Philippi is about 30 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. It is out of the Judean area, and so it was in an area that was strongly Roman and had a deep Roman and Hellenistic culture to it. Caesarea Philippi means, literally, the city of Caesar given by Philip. And so it was this city that was designated about the Roman Empire. And in that area, particularly in its history, there were all kinds of temples to the god Baal. There was there's a mountain there that has a cave. And out of that cave comes a spring that feeds the Jordan River that gives its life-giving water to the Sea of Galilee. And so people for a long time felt that that had deep religious significance. And so there was a god Pan from the Greeks. But there are all kinds of temples in that area. And so it's not surprising that Matthew says, now, when Jesus took his disciples to that city is where he wants to ask them that question. Who do you think that I am? It would be like for us, I could imagine, if Jesus were to take us to New York City, and maybe we were standing on Wall Street, the financial hub of this nation, and perhaps a key cornerstone of the whole world's economy. Or maybe you went to the Fashion District, or you were standing on the corner of Broadway with all of the lights that are going on around there, the traffic, the skyscrapers, everything was proclaiming our human culture. And Jesus said, now, you tell me, who do you say that I am? Well, first he begins by asking us what has to be considered that unavoidable question. See, so often we want to say, well, this is what I think the answer is. Philosophically or theologically, this is the answer. And yet, this is that question that you can't avoid because you are playing it out each and every day, not by just what you say, but how you live. Not just what you do here this morning, but you are constantly reaffirming or denying the truth of that statement by how you live each and every day. And so every so often, particularly on Sunday morning, we should take a pause, take a deep, deep breath, and hear Jesus say to us, who do you say that I am? The first thing that we want to understand about this is that Jesus first asks the most obvious question. What are other people saying? Now, as soon as Jesus asks that, there are really three key responses that most people feel when they want to make a response. The first thing is we could probably say, well, this is what public opinion says. It is the most common, it is the least offensive, and most people would agree to it. This is what public opinion says. This is what the people want. Give the people what they want. This is what they're asking for. They think this. Is that what you think? Are we going with the flow? There are those that would probably give you the party response. Maybe based on their background, if they're Greek or Roman, if they're Methodist or Catholic or Episcopalian, whatever it is, they would give you a party line. Say, this is who we are. We are not like everybody else. We're different, and we want to maintain our difference. We want to maintain our exclusivity. We're not like everybody else. And so it is the least common and oftentimes the most offensive. But ultimately, Jesus boils it down. The disciples come back and say, people really don't know. Some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah. Now, the disciples hit on the key prophets of the Old Testament. Elijah was considered the granddaddy of all prophets. As a matter of fact, in Micah chapter 4, we find that the prophet is to come and be here before the coming of the Messiah. And earlier in Matthew, we find that Jesus said, he has already come, and you've known him as John the Baptist. But they are returning to him a traditional Jewish response. This is what Jews, good Jews, would say. But the thing that I was so fascinated about is Jesus does not look to them and say, tell me about what your heritage says, or what your culture says, or what you ought to believe based on your background. He sets that whole answer aside, and I have this image of him taking each disciple and saying, now, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And there's a couple of things that hit me about that. First of all, in the Old Testament, you were identified by your family, by your tribe, your clan, and certainly by being of the Jewish nation. You were part of a bigger whole. But all of a sudden, Jesus bears in, and he said, you matter to me. You matter. Not what everybody else is saying, but you matter to Jesus. Your answer, you specifically, your response is going to be critical. Tell me what is in your heart right now. Christians are not just born. They are created by what you believe. It isn't just where that you were born in America or that you were born in this area, but who you are on the inside, what Jesus is doing on the inside. And so Jesus hones in and says, tell me about what's going on with you as an individual. The great thing about that is knowing that God knows you as a person, one of a kind, and it's important that he asks you that question. The second thing that we kind of get out of this is that you matter to Jesus, but that your choice matters. It matters greatly to you. You must make a choice, and you must understand what that choice is. To do nothing is in itself a choice. We find that throughout the New Testament, very often people would get frustrated and annoyed with what Jesus was saying, and it said, and many just fell away because they couldn't deal with the hard teaching. When we think about answering that question, who do you say that I am? All we have to do is look at your responses on a day-to-day basis. How do you respond? Not just with your words, but with your actions and your attitudes and the plan that you have for the rest of your life. Because what I find fascinating about this is Peter steps up and he has that great confession. And he says, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. He says, surrounded by all these temples, you are the Son of the living God, the one true God. He doesn't go back to his Jewish roots. You say, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God above all things. And Jesus changes his name. He said, Simon, son of Jonah, I'm now going to call you Peter, because you have undergone a change that is so radical, you need a new name. It's like a new birth. You matter to Jesus, and your choice matters to your future. As soon as Peter makes that confession, what I find fascinating is Jesus then says, and then he began to teach them what that meant. He began to teach them what that meant. Up until this point, they only had a vague understanding. They knew what they knew. and said, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus said, "Whatever you do, don't tell anybody." Theologically, this is called messianic secrecy. You know the answer, but you don't have the experience yet to understand the depth of what that truly means. He says, "Don't tell anybody." And then he begins to teach them. Once you've made the confession, Jesus is the Son of the living God, the process then begins. The journey then begins. Your eyes are opened, and all of a sudden, Jesus begins to show you what that truly means. Teaches you things like surrender and sacrifice and joy and purpose. When Jesus comes and people are hailing him as the Messiah, he knew as they were coming in that this was a fickle crowd. They only knew a little bit. They only knew just a little portion of who he was. And he also knew the reason that he was there. I wonder if we've gathered this morning, if we understand why we're here. Why have we come? So that Jesus can look us square in the eye and say, "Who do you say that I am?" What journey have we taken? It's a choice that we all must make. I like this quote, and I want to end with this quote by David Hunt. He says, "The choice that we face is not, as many imagine, between heaven and hell. Rather, the choice is between heaven and this world. Even a fool would exchange hell for heaven, but only the wise will exchange this world for heaven." Jesus invites us to choose, and to choose carefully, to evaluate where you are and particularly where you're going. Even if we don't have all of the answers, are we on that path of greater discovery? You are the Messiah. You are the one to follow. Even if that means to the cross, you are the one that has the answers. The challenge for us today on Palm Sunday is to ask ourselves and evaluate, are our shouts of Hosanna hollow and meaningless because they're just part of the crowd, the noise? Or are they a true confession of what's going on in the inside? Hosanna, the Lord has come. David has arrived, and we know him as Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, we have gathered this morning with shouts of Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and that is you. You have come to us today. You come every day, inviting us to follow you faithfully. Allow us, O God, to hear your word and to be guided by your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.